Previously on the I Took My Lad to Leeds podcast.
What is this? He's off. He's off.
Marcelo Bielsa is under increasing pressure tonight.
No, don't touch that. Oh boy.
The spy in the sky. I'm a Scotsman.
I tell you what, life without Leeds United is just boring in whatever world this is. It's so bad. If I were to go back now, how would I want Leeds to be doing? Well, hopefully we're still in the Premier League, and based off last time, maybe Jesse Marsh has taken us all the way, and Brendan Aaronson's our best player. That's what I think would be going on with Leeds right now if I were to go back. Whoa, what the hell is happening right now? Wait, no, I was just about to say we should sign Weston McKennie. Hang on a second. Why am I back in the Lad to Leeds studio? But where's Dad? Why do I have a massive beard and a big mullet now? And why am I in the main chair? Oh, am I back to normal? Let's see how Leeds United are doing. Jesse Marsh isn't our manager. Oh, I wonder what happened there. Brendan Aaronson still plays for us. I wonder if he's our best player. Wait, we're 2 points off a Champions League spot. Hang on a second, I need to start the podcast again. Maybe if I press this button here...
Well, here we go then.
Well, there we go then. It's been a while, hasn't it? It's been a long time. I tell you what, it's good to be back. Hopefully you're doing well. It's just Lad now. No Dad. It's just me. So this is the brand new Lad to Leeds podcast, a correct way to start your match day, either if you're on the train driving, on the coach, even if you are sat at home. We have all the pre-match conversation that the LFU needs to get ready for those dreaded 90 minutes. And a lot has changed since we were last a Lad to Leeds podcast. Dad isn't here. He ain't here. He's still stuck in the void somewhere. Can we get contact with him? I'm now a fully functioning adult, yes, with a beard and some long hair, but Leeds United are still the same old Leeds LFU. We've got loads to talk about. I never really said what this podcast is going to be like. So this is going to be a match day podcast. Obviously, we have no game today. Match day podcast will get released on the morning of every single game day. And we'll sort you out for game day. It's going to be cracking. So much has happened in these 3 weeks. It is just classic Leeds, isn't it? It's just classic Leeds. So let's start off with the elephant in the room. That dreaded transfer window that Leeds United can just never seem to get right, can they? They can never get the transfer window right, no matter what. But also at the same time, Leeds United fans, let's be real, we could never be happy with a transfer window. We could have genuinely signed Messi or Ronaldinho in their prime during this window. And I think we still would have had a couple complaints because that's just how we roll here at Leeds. We have made 10 signings. So in this window, 10 signings, which is quite a lot. Newly promoted side, surely we were splashing the cash. Surely we were spending money left, right and centre because you get loads of money for going up. No. We spent £98 million or euros, whatever that is, but £98 million. That's not the numbers that a newly promoted side should be doing. It should be doing a lot more than that. Out of those 10 signings, 2 of the 10 were free transfers. Yes, that's correct. 2 of the 10, Nemecha and DCL, were our free transfers. Our most expensive signing, £20 million, Anton Stach. Who have we signed? I've said a couple base figures there, but who have we actually signed this transfer window? So our two frees, Metro and DCL, then Bornau for £6 million, James Justin for £8 million, Goodmanson for £11 million, Longstaff for £13 million, Perry for £16 million, Bill for 18, Okafor for 19, and Stack for 20. So we brought in a lot of players. The question is, are any of them good? And how do I rate this transfer window? So if you asked me about 3 weeks ago, maybe, in fact, no, not 3 weeks ago. I think that's too short of a time span. Just before August, if you asked me just before August at the end of July, I would have said 7 out of 10. We had a great start to the window. We signed the positions we needed. We needed a left back. We strengthened in defence. We signed a great goalkeeper and we got our midfield players in. All of that was sorted. And as well as that, we got some decent backup strikers as well. Before August, absolutely fantastic. But post-transfer window, I'm going to knock that rating down just a bit. It's down to a 5 out of 10. That's right. This transfer window has been a 5 out of 10. And it's, I don't want to throw the word about because you can't really tell if a window has been a failure unless, like, after quite a few games and after 10 games in, that's when you can see if a window has been a failure because you never know. Pirro might actually turn out to be a very good Prem striker. Not only may refine his form that he had when he was in the Premier League, Okafor might be a great player. So maybe we did need to sign these attacking signings because we've got what we've got now. But I've got no complaints with the players that we've actually signed. However, my problem is it's just the lack of players that we signed. We could have done on that deadline day with about 2 more attacking signings. The reason why we didn't get enough signs was because of this lackluster end of the window. For me, and this is where I pinpoint where the problems started happening with Leeds United's transfer window, it started going downhill after the Paxal transfer. When that fell through, that's when our window self-imploded on itself. It just exploded, and that was it. The signings we made after that weren't really inspiring, and it seemed like we just threw our toys out the pram and went, right, that's it, I'm not signing an attacker then. And I thought it was stupid. It looked like we had no plan for the rest of the window. No plan whatsoever. Like, people will complain about Muniz, like the Muniz signing or whatever. But for me, he was never a realistic option. I'll be honest with you. When I saw that we were linked with him, there was not a part of me that was thinking we are going to sign him. That's Fulham's starting striker. And I'm sorry, there's no way on planet Earth they're going to sell him to Leeds United. Why on earth would he want to sign for Leeds United? Okay, it's a bigger club. Better fans, bigger stadium, better atmosphere. Fair enough. But if you look at it, how long have Fulham been in the Premier League for? We've just been promoted. There's no way he was going to join us. No way in any world he was going to join us. And for 40 million as well. That would have been our record signing. That was not happening. That was just agent talk and Leeds talk, in my opinion, to make it look like we tried. That's for the Muniz one. I think that was just, look, we have this money and we're trying. Here you go. It's a bunch of rubbish. Then the whole Paxal saga was just terrible. Just what a whole mess up it was, though. Just the waiting for ages to put in a bid. Marseille basically had the player, and then we decided to go, oh no, we're going to put in a bid, which elongated him signing for Marseille for about 4 days, and he joined him anyway. That was just stupid. The whole handling of the Paxal situation was dreadful. Why would we wait that long to try and sign a player to the point where he's basically got the pen in his hand to sign that Marseille contract? And then we decide to put a bid in. And then all that we do is just make him think about it for an extra couple of days. He was never going to sign. It was awful, awful, like just transfer work from everybody at Leeds United. It was dreadful. But what followed afterwards was worse, and I think this is why we're going to struggle this season. I'm not going to reveal too much on that because I'll talk about that later. So due to these rumours, we would assume that we would had about 70 million to spend on transfers. The Paxal transfer was rumoured for 30 mil. The Muniz transfer was rumoured for about £40 million as well. So 70 mil to spend in the last month of the transfer window, that's fantastic. But I've got a question I've got a question for you, LFU. How much did you think we spent of that £70 million that we supposedly had? How much did you think? Have a little guess. I'm going to read them out for you right now. £8 million on James Justin. £19 million on Okafor. And DCL on Muniz's replacement on a free. So the amount that we paid for those three players, £27 million, that wouldn't have signed Paxal. So what's gone on there? And that's what makes me think these Muniz and Paxal transfers, these rumours, was just utter rubbish. We didn't even spend the amount that we were supposedly going to sign Paxal for on three players. And two of them are replacements for the striker and winger that we missed out on. It's absolutely dreadful. And in the meantime, with our outgoings, because I'm talking about incomings here, I've got no problems with the outgoings whatsoever. However, you can probably guess, just one. Ramazani.
Bruh.
Arjie Ramazani. That's the best way to describe it. Just this.
Bruh.
He had the best goal ratio per 90 in the championship. Statistically, this man was the most prolific player in the championship.
Bruh.
And on top of that, we've loaned him out to what I say is a miles better team, where he has assisted on his La Liga debut, where he was subbed on an instant impact.
Bruh.
To a better team, Valencia.
Bruh.
With arguably a better manager as well.
Bruh.
Worst of all, this is the one that gets me. He is deemed lower in the pecking order than Brendan Aaronson and Jack Harrison.
Bruh.
He's lower in the pecking order than Brendan Aaronson and Jack Harrison, which is insane. Brendan Aaronson isn't even a winger. He's a 10. I don't know what this guy does on the pitch. What does he do? What does Brendan Aaronson do apart from run about like a headless chicken? Nothing. Oh, we might press. Oh, is that why Daniel Fark wants him? Oh, he can press really well. And Jack Harrison, I mean, need I say more about him? I think there's been a lot of lies told this transfer window, especially with Muniz and Paxal. I question if we were even in for those players. And I just struggle. This is what the worrying side is. Our biggest rivals for this season are Burnley, are Sunderland, the two sides we got promoted with. The best chance of staying up is getting ahead of them. We can't get ahead of Sunderland. And Burnley look dangerous this season. I struggle to see how we genuinely do better than them, which is a worry. This might just be me being negative. Let me know. We are missing two top quality attacking players. Sunderland have signed them. Burnley are doing well off. Burnley are doing well off anyway. But we haven't got them. Now, we're left with signing like Brownhill on a free, which I don't even think's happening. And also Ziyech. Ziyech is on a free as well. We won't sign him though. So it looks like we're going to have to sit and wait until January. Oh, there's a spanner in the works there. Recent interview. What's being said? Oh, we want to avoid January business. Yeah, I feel like it's a bit negative. Usually we're all joyful and happy, but this is what changes when you don't do the podcast in about 4 years. So Daniel Fark, I think we need to have a conversation about Daniel Fark. If you know me personally, you'll know my opinions on Daniel Fark, so you know what's coming out here. But I think we need to talk about him, as I feel he has been extremely shafted with the last days of the window. Extremely shafted. Like, I think he's been crying out for these players, and he's not been getting anything. There is no possible way he stays as Leeds United manager this year. He either gets sacked mid-season, or if we stay up, we still get rid of him. And I think every Leeds fan thinks the same. I don't think there's a Leeds United fan who thinks that Daniel Fark will be our manager at the end of the year. Yeah. Or at least is confident to say Daniel Farke will be manager of Leeds United in 2026. To become this elite club that the 49ers want us to be, we need the best quality manager we can get. And I don't think Farke is the trustworthy figure that can drag us through the Prem. I don't think he can scrape us results. I don't think he can battle us out, even though some past games may disagree with that statement and say, well, we can scrape results because look at Newcastle. Look at the Everton game. But for the whole entire season, no chance. I could not tell you what style of football we play. I guess it's hard in the Prem to have an identity when you're a team like Leeds, but we have tall players and a physical squad, yet we don't play physically. We loaned out one of our most technically gifted players when he said we're going to play this expansive football. Why is Aronson still getting into the team? Why is Harrison still getting into the team? Harrison has never been that good for Everton. Aronson, in that season that we went down, he was statistically the worst player in the Premier League. I think all of our attack is like above 6 foot. Our midfield and attack is above 6 foot. We have some big players in defence. Let's get our set pieces sorted. Let's become these physical players, this physical team that teams are going to be scared to play because they aren't going to be as strong as us, because they may be able to beat us technically, but we can be stronger than them. We can barge them off the ball. We can kick lumps out of them. We can win headers against them. We can do that. So let's go do it. We have the players. I think there needs to be a long, hard look at Farke. I'm just not convinced with him. I think the way we've been playing this season isn't convincing. And the results are okay. I think they're good. I'm pretty chuffed with the results, actually. But it's the way we're playing.
Well, here we go then.
We have one win, one draw, and one loss, which is great. 4 points. You look at the teams we played. We played two teams that are in Champions League football and Everton, an established Premier League team, which are always hard to beat. So we've done well to get 4 points from that. So top performers, I think Goodmanson, Stack and Bogle. I think our midfield and defence this year, bar the Arsenal game, that's a write-off. We lost 5-0, so what? Goodmanson has been absolutely class at left-back. He looks absolutely unplayable there, okay, against Arsenal. But like I said, bit of a write-off, isn't it? You can let him off when he's played against Saka, one of the best wingers in the league. He's been great possession-wise, amazing. Passing-wise, amazing. Pace, going forward, defending, he's been great. He's been absolutely fantastic. Stack, I think, will be, I don't mean to spoil anything, I think will be a very crucial player for us, because it seemingly, well, what it seems to be is when Stack plays well, the whole entire team plays well. And he's a big physical player, bit unorthodox for a centre mid, but he works. That's what I love. Just get him off corners and get him in the box, and what a player we've got there. He's going to be fantastic. And another top performer, Bogle. Bogle, every time he has played, has been absolutely fantastic. He's been great, and I've loved him. When he came on against Wednesday, he changed the game. He changed the game against a bunch of kids and scored a goal. But every time he plays, we seem to do well. And I absolutely love Bogle. What I thought he was horrendous at the start of last season, but then he's actually become quite a good player. Our crucial players, who I think are going to be our most important players this season. And I've gone for Ampadu, Nemecha, and Bogle. Ampadu's already been out for 2 games, and we've had a draw and a loss. Maybe against Arsenal, he could have maybe brought the scoreline down a bit, brought a bit of a stability to that midfield. But against Newcastle, I think that would have changed the game. He has been so good for us in that first game against Everton. He was so crucial to the way we played. Ampadu is going to be so important for us this year. So important, especially if we want to win games. And Mecha is probably a bit of a surprise one here. I think he's going to be so important for us. If you look at the way we played against Newcastle, if we're looking to do this physical style of football, Mecha's hold-up play was absolutely outrageous. It was so, so good. And that's what's going to be important for us this season. Get those balls up top, into the Mecha, and get him to hold it up. That's what we're going to have to do to get up quickly. Because realistically, we don't have a striker who can run in behind whatsoever. So pin it up to him, get the ball at his feet, on his chest, on his head, and get the flick-ons. That's what we got to do this season to be successful. And it's going to be ugly, but it's what we need to do. And then the third crucial player, Bogle. like I said, he's been a top performer for us so far. He's been so important every time he's come on. He's changed the game. He is such a good player. Honest to God, I'm going to say it now. I would not be surprised if Jaden Bogle plays for England in the next few years. The problems that England have at right back, I wouldn't be surprised if Bogle slips into a call-up. I think he could do it, you know. I really think he could. Surprise player. Who do you think our surprise player is going to be? DCL. Calvert-Lewin. I think Calvert-Lewin is going to be great for us. And if he can stay fit, I think he is going to be the striker that we need this season. Physical. Quick. His physicality is amazing. He's athletic as well. We've seen him finish before. Why can't he do it now? I think if he keeps his fitness up, he will be our starting striker. He's got the number 9 shirt he's going to be. Keep his fitness. I think he's going to be great for us. I think he's going to be really good for us, and he's going to surprise a lot of people. He's going to score plenty of headers. His hold-up play is going to be fantastic. He's going to just be fantastic all round. Right, ready for the next point. We've got through all the season talk. Let's have some fun with some features, eh? So I'm calling this one The Wiser View, and it's important you say it like that. The Wiser View? Question mark. He may not be on the mic, but doesn't mean he cannot be here. Doesn't mean he can't send in a voice note, can he? So this is where we'll hear his Wiser View. And we've got connection to Dad. So let's see what Dad has to say about the Leeds United season so far.
Hey, lad. Thanks for bringing me with you back to the studio. What's that all about? Anyway, sounds like to me we possibly had one of the worst transfer windows in a long time since the one before Bielsa's last season, where we just signed Firpo and Dan James. I don't know what went on. It seemed to get to a good start and then just went dead. The manager telling us and I assume the board what we needed, very poignant press conference around attackers, and we end up with less than we had last year. And, you know, throwing in the Ramazani thing, I'm just like, what is going on? Farke hasn't been backed with what he needs. They really haven't. We're entering this with a squad that has more question marks and less defensive players than last year, which is unfair on the coaching staff and Farke. But, you know, as we showed with Everton, if we can grind those points, who knows? I may be wrong, and I hope I am, and I'll be supporting them all the way to prove me wrong.
I'll tell you what, one thing that I've learned from that is that in the void, you get some great connection, don't you? Well, there's Dad's thoughts on the Leeds United season so far, and his sprinkle of thoughts, what is going to happen with, what's going to happen with Farke, and what's going to happen with the season ahead. And I tell you what, I call this the Wiser View with a question mark, okay? Because usually Dad comes up with some suggestive statements, and he's probably going to have a go at me. I'm going to get a message after this saying, son, you're absolutely talking rubbish. But he comes up with some suggestive statements sometimes. However, this time, I actually agree with a lot of what he said. So yeah, that's what Dad says. So that's what his thoughts are from the void. He'll be back again next week for the pre-match against Fulham. So we're going to be bringing back a segment for next week's podcast. I'll tell you about that then. A familiar face, or a familiar name more like, will be making a return. So make sure you're back again next week to find out who that is. There we go. Episode 1, Lads Leeds is back. Lads pre-match pod is here. Episode 1 in the books. Hopefully you enjoyed yourself. The format won't be following this. This has only been done because so much has gone on. So it's been a bit of a longer episode. The episodes will be so much shorter. Have a great rest of your day, whatever you do in LFU. Make sure you're back here next week. Same time, it'll be Saturday morning for a Fulham pre-match pod. Lads pre-match pod. So make sure you don't miss it. Have a great week, LFU. Whatever you're doing, I'll see you next week.